so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever that it is that you're doing right now, wherever you're going at this very moment, whether you're listening to the show or watching the podcast on YouTube. I do appreciate you bringing me along with you for the ride. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for the Boston Sports Journal, and I am the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars book that I'm showing you right now on the YouTube channel that is available for sale on my website, johncorrales.com. Signed copies, $30. $30 shipped domestically in the U.S. A little extra if you're shipping it to the, you know, outside of the United States. But, you know, I'll work with you on it. Signed copy, great gift for Father's Day, which is around the corner, or whatever, birthdays, just because. So I am recording this podcast on a very shocking day. Normally I record the podcast at night, like 10, 11 o'clock at night, put it up around midnight or so, so it's there for you in the morning, but it's now 3 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon, and I'm just doing a new podcast. That Wednesday podcast that I normally have out there, it's still out there, but this is going to be like the Wednesday / Thursday show because the Boston Celtics went and lost their damn minds. This show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at 95 calories and only 2.6 carbs. It is only worth it if you enjoy it. And I'm sure a lot of us are going to be enjoying a few Michelob Ultras after hearing that Brad Stevens has replaced Danny Ainge as the president of basketball operations. Danny Ainge has retired from his position. So Danny Ainge is out. He's leaving. And the Celtics have promoted Brad Stevens from within. It's a shocking development. So let me just kind of walk through my first reactions to it. First of all, when Tuesday nights, just to let you guys in on how my days work, Tuesday nights on a Celtics night especially get late because Celtics played. I had the post games. Last night was the last game of the season. So they sent out five players. So we had a long post game. I did my writing. I had to, while that was going on, keep an eye on both other playoff games that were going on. Luckily, the Lakers game was just a blowout. But I did Locked On NBA, which you should go listen to. Jake Madison and I do the Wednesday Locked On NBA. And then when that was done, I recorded Locked On Celtics. So by the time I did all of that stuff, it was about 3:30 in the morning, and I went to bed. I set an alarm for 11 a.m. I woke up at 11 a.m., grabbed my phone, and I just see tweets, people saying, John, wake up. Where are you? What's going on? I see ESPN alerts. My eyes are still like, I've got sleep in my eyes. I'm groggy. I see Danny Ainge stepping down. I don't know if it's real, if it's fake, if I'm dreaming. Finally, after, you know, a few minutes of just getting caught up on the Woj bombs, right around 11 o'clock, the Celtics officially make the announcement. So I get to send out the official announcement. Danny Ainge is retired and Brad Stevens is taking his job as the president of basketball operations. So let's just look at the immediate aftermath of this. This is such a tumultuous time for the Celtics. I thought that Danny Ainge was going to stick around. What I say last in the Wednesday show, give him one more season and then we'll see, because he has the $11 million left from the Gordon Hayward traded player exception. He's got Evan Fournier, who he traded for, and you got to deal with that. He's got to figure things out here and try to clean up his mess there. And as I said in the Wednesday show, whether it's his fault or not, that the Kyrie Irving thing didn't work out, that the Al Horford thing didn't work out, Gordon Hayward, all of those players left, the moves that he made, while in the moment, I think most of those moves seemed pretty good, but it didn't work. So that's just how it goes. The moves don't work. You got to figure it out. A lot of GMs, a lot of front office guys, they make moves that they should work. Coaches during games, you say, okay, he's going to insert this guy. Didn't work. Just because it looks good in the moment doesn't mean it's definitely going to work. So I thought Danny Ainge was going to stick around for that. Now, some people might be speculating about why did Danny Ainge leave? Did it seem sudden? There are people who say there were rumblings. I didn't hear any rumblings, but I don't know. That's part of the, I think one of the things that not being around the team is it's hard to hear the rumblings. Because a lot of times at games, how it works is, look, I normally for a 7:30 game, we'll get there between 4:30 and 5 p.m. There's a lot of people to talk to there. There are writers from other teams. You start talking about, hey, what did you hear? What did you hear? You know, you never know. Somebody comes up and says, oh yeah, I heard this thing about Danny. And so then you start asking questions, privately asking questions. And so I had no idea about Danny. Now, I did have an idea about Brad Stevens being kind of worn down. I knew that this season and last season were tough on Brad Stevens. I had heard that the bubble and all of that, even though in his news conference on Wednesday, Brad Stevens said, hey, basketball-wise, that was the best basketball that I had seen in a long time. It still wore on him. The bubble and the grind of this season wore on him, took him away from his family. And if there's anything you can say about Brad Stevens, is that he loves his family. He loves his wife. He loves his kids. And being away from them, I think, is a painful thing for him. And I think the past two seasons did wear him down a little bit. So I thought, frankly, I thought Brad Stevens was going to take a summer to be in the mountains somewhere and come back and be refreshed. But I didn't expect him to leave the sidelines and head into the front office. Now, what does that mean? He's still going to be away from his family, but I guess he could take them with him. He still has to go coach. He still has to go scout, I should say. He still has to be at these other games. He's going to be, you know, overseas. He's got to go to Europe. He's got to go to Africa. He's got to go to China. He's got to go to these different countries. He's got to go to Australia, where there's a lot of basketball that's being played. He's got to go to these places to see players in person. If he doesn't, he's not doing his job. So it's going to be an interesting mix. So yeah, very surprising. And look, this is a critical time for the Boston Celtics. You've got Jaylen Brown going into the second year of his second contract, Jason Tatum going into the first year of his second contract. The clock is ticking on those guys. You want them to stick around for their primes. And if they're not going to, then that's going to be a problem. And of course, whether they do or not depends on the job that Brad Stevens does. So let's just start with that. Lots of pressure all the way around. I'll come back. I'll give my reaction to Brad Stevens specifically getting the job and the challenges that he faces and why I think that this is a huge risk for the Boston Celtics. That's next. RockAuto.com is the place to go for everything that you need for your car or truck, no matter how simple, no matter how complicated, whether it's a piece for your engine, whether it's a piece that, you know, you attach to something for decorations, whether floor mats, wipers, whatever you can come up with, go to rockauto.com first. I'm telling you, you're going to save a lot of time. You're going to save money. If you go down to one of those chain stores, if you go to one of those strip malls, you've got to drive there. You got to tell that person behind the counter all of the stuff about your car. Then that person's going to go to some shelf and whatever they have in stock is what they're going to give you. If they don't have it in stock, they're going to have it delivered to you. And guess what? You can have that delivered to you directly by rockauto.com for less money, and you don't have to make that trip. Just log in through your device, your mobile device, your laptop, whatever. No membership necessary. Just go and look. There's no different price for the pros versus the do-it-yourselfers. There's no different price based on what the market will bear like an airline ticket. They don't do that stuff. That's crap. That's what people in the other industries, the other auto parts dealers do. Rock Auto is a family business that's been doing this for more than 20 years. So check it out. When you do go, I'm pretty sure you're going to buy something. I'm pretty sure you're going to see how much money you saved. And you should, when you buy something, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That's how they know we sent you. That's how they know. They don't know any other way. So please, when you buy something, put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. It's an amazing selection. It's reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, the Celtics are eliminated, but the road to the finals still continues, and I'll be talking about it here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And the road to the finals coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Brad Stevens is the new president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. This is an amazing risk by the Celtics. Now, I have no idea what they've seen behind the scenes. And this is me saying all of this, knowing that Brad has worked with Danny Ainge for a while. In 8 years there, they have worked together. They evaluate players together. They bring in players for workouts. Obviously, Brad has been coaching while Ainge has been scouting. But they have, I'm sure, have talked extensively about player development, about player recruitment, about how certain things are done. Brad Stevens is a very smart guy. I'm sure he's picked things up along the 8 years that he has been a member of the Boston Celtics. I do think it's funny that 8 years ago, the Celtics hired Brad Stevens out of nowhere, like almost exactly 8 years ago. I think it was July 2nd or 3rd in 2013 that they hired him out of nowhere. And everybody scrambled like, oh my God. And then today they did it again. They hired Brad Stevens as the president of basketball operations out of nowhere. Not a hint, not a rumor, no nothing. So kind of funny that they've done this twice now with Brad Stevens. Someone joked on Twitter that the next thing is that he's made investments in Bitcoin and GameStop stock that he's now going to buy the team. That's the next thing. It's the only thing left. So, but no matter what the experience that Brad Stevens has had with the, with Danny Ainge and working behind the scenes, this is his first foray into doing this himself, into being the guy, into being the number one guy in the front office. He's going to be the guy on draft night that says, this is the guy. He's going to be the one making all the phone calls and saying, hey, okay, this is the deal. No, this is the deal. And I'm sure he's had the experience in recruiting in college, but that's not the same at all. I mean, it's similar in that you figure out how to appeal to a player to bring him to your program. And he has some, I guess, experience in saying like Butler was, you know, I'm sure Boston has its selling points, but we know that you're competing against Miami, you're competing against the big markets, you're competing against LA and the Lakers. There are, you know, the selling points for Boston are behind these other cities. So it's kind of Butler-ish in a way, trying to convince somebody to go to a place that maybe they might not have thought of or whatever, but that's a little bit of a reach there. I think the risk is mostly in that not only is Brad Stevens new at this, the biggest risk is that Brad Stevens is going from coaching this team to running this team. And that's why I asked him the question at the beginning of the news conference. Here, I'll play you the question and the answer.
You now move into this front office role after coaching these guys. They've all worked really hard for you. They've, you know, you've coached them through some of the worst of the NBA with the bubble and this turnaround and through personal tragedy. Are you prepared now to make the difficult decisions that impact these guys' futures as a member of the front office, as running the team?
I mean, I think one of the things that I've learned from just being around Danny is you have a job to do. You have a responsibility to do. That responsibility is to the Boston Celtics and our fans, and the pursuit of excellence and the pursuit of the opportunity to compete for championships. But you can also care about people, and you can also be there and do everything you can to help someone and care about them when they're here or no longer here. And I think that that's really important. You're right. We've been through a lot together. At the same time, I think I've got a good idea. One of the benefits of moving into this new role is I've got a good idea of what we do and don't do well, and what can accentuate some of our, best players. And so there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work ahead. I mean, obviously, there is a whole process that we'll go through in searching for a new coach. There's obviously roster decisions that must be made. And there's development within our own team and improvement within our own team that has to happen. That said, as Danny said, we are in a good place. We have a lot of really positive things. And, it's our job to capitalize on that.
Can Brad Stevens put the relationships that he's built aside and make these cold, impersonal decisions that are necessary from the president of basketball operations? It's hard to go from coaching into the front office in general. Danny Ainge made it work. That's great. So I don't know if Brad Stevens is going to make it work or not. I'm very skeptical about this. We had evidence as a coach, like we knew that he was a good coach at Butler. And coming in, it was just a matter of, can he translate to the NBA? But we knew that he had the ability to coach. And we've seen, he's been a pretty good coach. We don't know what he's like as a member of the front office. We don't know what kind of moves he's willing to make or able to make. But can he look at Marcus Smart in the eyes after everything that he said about Marcus Smart? He's the one that said, I love and trust Marcus Smart. Can he look at Marcus Smart in the eyes and say, I'm trading you? Or if they're keeping him, can he say to Marcus and his agent, these are the things that you're not good at, and so we're not going to pay you that much money. Can he negotiate with these players? Can he look at Kemba Walker in the eyes, knowing what Kemba Walker has been through, having seen Kemba Walker work how hard he's worked and still have those issues with his knee? Can he look at Kemba Walker in the eyes and say, I'm sending you to a bad team because you make too much money and we can't afford to keep you? And that's going to be tough. Hey, on the other side, maybe it's easier. Maybe he says to these guys, because he has had that experience with them, say, look, you know how much I love you, but the business side of this is what it is. I'm sorry. We have to do this. And those guys, maybe they understand more because they understand what Brad Stevens has done. That's going to be a hard one. Coaching-wise, can he look at his assistant coaches, the assistant coaching staff that he's built, and look at Scott Morrison, Jay Larinaga, Jerome Allen, and say, I know all three of you probably want this job, because all three of them, I'm sure, would love to. Who wouldn't love to be the head coach of the Boston Celtics? You got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You walk in to a team with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Morrison has coached the Red Claws. He wants to be a head coach. Larinaga, Morrison, Allen, all of them have coached the Summer League team at some point. Jerome Allen was interviewed for the Sixers job. And I don't know how far he would have gone had Doc Rivers not been fired by the LA Clippers, but he wants a head coaching job. Larinaga has interviewed for head coaching jobs before. Those guys want head coaching jobs. And those are the three that are at the front of the line internally. Can Brad Stevens look at two of those guys and say, I'm going with the other one? And what do those two guys do? Do those two guys want to work for a guy that was on that staff? I mean, that I'm sure... let's say they look at Jerome Allen and they hire Jerome Allen. Does he want to keep Jay Larrañaga on? Does Jay Larrañaga want to stay? Does Morrison want to stay? There's a lot of those things going on there. And that happens whenever there's a search for a new coach. But can Brad Stevens navigate that? Can he tell all three of them, hey, you know what? I love all the work you guys have done for me. I'm hiring somebody from the outside. And that might be the way Brad Stevens kind of, I don't want to say cops out, but that could be the way he navigates this and says, you know, instead of picking one over those three, I'm going to go with an outside candidate. Do those three guys feel like they've been passed over? And there are a lot of potential minefield for Brad Stevens. Going from coaching this team to running this team is something that's going to be extraordinarily difficult. It's just going to be difficult. And you can say he has intimate knowledge of what guys do well and what they don't, and he'll have better knowledge of that than anybody coming in to run this team. If they had gone with, you see Sam Presti's name mentioned around, and you know, hey, look, I like Sam Presti. He's an Emerson guy. He's a Massachusetts guy. If Sam had come in, would have been great. But he's also doing a pretty good job with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's in the midst of rebuilding that team. Maybe he's just, I don't know what that situation was, but if he had come in, he wouldn't have the same knowledge that Brad Stevens has of this team. So there's that for sure. But the personal relationships make things very, very tough for Brad Stevens. There's just no doubt about it. It makes things more difficult. And the greatest challenge that he has isn't whether he, you know, what moves he makes. The biggest challenge that he has right now is, does he have it in him to look at these people with whom he's built strong relationships and tell them, sorry? That's the hardest part, because you really run the risk of hurting a relationship, and you have to be willing to do that. It's a crappy business, man. It's a crappy business. And that's why I would never, ever want to do it. I've said a million times, I'd be a horrible GM because I get attached to players. I get attached to people. I like these relationships. I don't like ruining these relationships. And there's a very strong possibility. In fact, I'd say it's likely that Brad Stevens is going to hurt a personal relationship with decisions that he's going to make. That's how it is. You got to be willing to do it. That's part of the job. Up next, some thoughts on Danny Ainge when I return here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. BetOnline.ag is the place to go to bet on all of your sports action. I would not have bet on this news happening, but you could. And you can also bet on baseball. You can bet on who the next head coach will be. In fact, I'll talk about that next too. Jay Larrañaga, 3-1 odds on BetOnline.ag right now to be the next head coach. Jason Kidd at 5-1, Chauncey Billups at 6-1, Lloyd Pierce at 6-1. I'll run through this list that's all on betonline.ag. You can place your bets on who the next head coach will be. I'm going to touch on that in the next segment as well. You can get all of your latest odds and information, sports across the globe. So head on over. Use your laptop, use your mobile device, check out all the new sports news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. In fact, this sign-up bonus, Locked On, promo code Locked On, you get 50% welcome bonus with that promo code on your first deposit. So you want to pop $200 into your first deposit? $100 welcome bonus from BetOnline with the promo code Locked On. There is no reason to sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as these teams run towards the playoffs, run through the playoffs, and remake their front offices like the Celtics. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. You know, one thing that people asked me about was Mike Zarin, who is the team lawyer, and he is the, I forget what his official title is with the Celtics, but he's basically the assistant GM. And they wonder, like, well, why didn't he get the job? And I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I don't know if he wants that particular job. He's a huge, huge, huge Celtics fan, like a massive Celtics fan. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's just happy doing what he wanted to do there, what he's doing. He gets to run the numbers and work with this team and just, I don't know. I maybe he's just happy doing what he does. I don't know what that situation is, but he's such a huge Celtics fan that I don't know if he would want to do the things that, or could do the things, like I said in the last segment, that are necessary. Danny Ainge, the Danny Ainge era is over in Boston, and it didn't end particularly well. He obviously took a lot of heat for his comments after the Kyrie Irving thing, which I know a lot of people were painting as they weren't great. I've said that they weren't great. I don't know if they crossed into racist, but some people have said that they do. That's up for debate, I suppose. I don't think that Danny Ainge meant anything that negative with those comments. I think he was trying to blow off the Kyrie Irving, what he saw as an attempt for Kyrie Irving to distract from the series. But whatever. I know that he took a lot of heat from that. He's got to deal with that. That's his own personal thing. The basketball era for Danny Ainge was obviously successful in that he brought a championship to Boston. They hung banner 17. He made a number of successful trades that worked. He got Kevin Garnett here. He got Ray Allen here. In fact, it was the Ray Allen trade that got Kevin Garnett here. And the mending of fences with Paul Pierce, the pivot after that era ended to move Pierce and Garnett to Brooklyn and get that stash of draft picks is one of the greatest trades in NBA history. That worked out. They got Jaylen Brown. They got Jason Tatum out of it. So that all worked out very well, despite some of the revisionist history that it, for some reason it didn't. That was a hugely lopsided trade. There's no doubt about that. And it set the Celtics up for the next generation. Now, some of the moves that he's made recently have not worked for him. And that's something that he's going to have to, you know, that's a stain on his record. Like the moving Isaiah Thomas after he was hurt, that's was a move you had to make for Kyrie Irving, but people are going to get on Ainge for that. Not being able to keep Kyrie or Horford or Hayward and keep that process going, that's going to hurt him. I think an unfair criticism of him is a lot of the moves that he didn't make, the quote unquote moves that he didn't make. That I think there was so much circumstance behind that. Like he wanted to trade for Paul George. You go back to the Paul George days. He wanted to trade for Paul George, but he needed to sign Gordon Hayward first. The plan was to sign Gordon Hayward and then trade for Paul George. And then the Indiana Pacers got impatient. They needed to sign Gordon Hayward, because if you traded for Paul George first, you wouldn't have the cap space to sign Gordon Hayward. But if you sign Gordon Hayward first, then you can trade for Paul George and have both together. That was the original plan. Indiana balked at that. So then he goes and he gets Kyrie Irving. Well, Kyrie Irving, that whole thing imploded. Gordon Hayward gets hurt and so on, we see. He didn't get Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard went to Toronto and won a championship in Toronto, and then he left. He went to the Clippers. Was he going to give up Jaylen Brown to get 1 year of Kawhi Leonard? You can say, hey, well, he went to Toronto and won a championship with the Raptors. Yeah, the Raptors were in a position that people don't give the Raptors enough credit for having good players around Kawhi Leonard. Like Kawhi raised the play, but they had good players. Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry, they had good players. Ibaka, that was a good team, overall team that was led by Kawhi. And you saw Kawhi in LA, Kawhi and the Clippers hasn't guaranteed them a championship. So giving up Jaylen Brown for 1 year of Kawhi Leonard didn't make sense. I think that's a fair thing to say for Danny Ainge. What's the other one? Jimmy Butler. You weren't going to give up Jaylen Brown for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler went to Philly for a year and then ended up in Miami. So you're talking about giving up Jaylen Brown for players that ultimately went to different places, and there's no guarantee that those things would have worked out. So I think keeping Jaylen Brown, like, it's pretty clear keeping Jaylen Brown was a good move. I don't see why people look at one side of this and say, oh, he didn't get these guys, but he kept Jaylen Brown in this deal, and Jaylen Brown's an all-star now. I think that's a fair thing to say, hey, you know, that's a good move. You know, you didn't trade for this all-star. We kept an all-star here. And the other move that he gets criticized for some reason now, because people lose sight of history, is Anthony Davis. When he had already traded for Kyrie Irving, and the salary cap rules prevented him from trading for Anthony Davis, that are both Rose Rule guys. He could not, he wanted to trade for Anthony Davis. The entire thing was geared towards trading for Anthony Davis. And when it came time for Anthony Davis to be traded, the Celtics were like, yeah, we'd love to. We're not allowed to, because we can't have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving on the same team while they're both under Rose Rule contracts. So they had to wait for Kyrie's contract to end, to go away and to re-sign, and he didn't re-sign. And so Anthony Davis had already sent out those very clear messages of, we're not going to sign in Boston, we're not going to re-sign in Boston, don't trade for us. That's, what else is Danny going to do? So I think the criticism of Danny Ainge not getting his guys is unfair. That is unfair. There's plenty of fair criticism for Danny Ainge, but that I don't know that's a good one. But we'll see what happens. Danny Ainge says this was health related. Who knows if he resurfaces? A lot of guys retire and then resurface somewhere. There's the rumors now that, hey, he was looking at Utah, maybe going home to Oregon, something with the Portland Trail Blazers. Maybe something like that happens. Maybe he just goes back and does some TV and plays golf. I mean, he could just do that. That's, who knows what Danny Ainge's next step is, but I wish him well. He won a championship in Boston. He has set the Celtics up with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they have now options to, you know, we'll see. The Celtics have options to build around them. We'll see what Brad Stevens does, and who does Brad Stevens hire? So before I wrap up, and the Friday show will be much more on this, and I'll get much more into the coaching. I'll do a lot more research into some of these possibilities, but the odds on betonline.ag, Jalen Arenaga 3-1, Jason Kidd 5-1. Let me just say this. No Jason Kidd, please. No Jason Kidd. Chauncey Billups is 6-1. Lloyd Pierce is 6-1. Sam Cassell 7-1. Kenny Atkinson 10-1. Ime Udoka 10-1. Jaron Collins 12-1. Alvin Gentry is 12-1. Nate McMillan 12-1. Mike D'Antoni 14-1. Becky Hammon 14-1. And Jeff Van Gundy 14. It's going to be an interesting interview process. Jalen Arenaga as the lead guy, I get it. He's been basically Brad Stevens' lead assistant and promoting from within. Sure, that makes sense. Continuity. Is continuity what this team needs? Does this team need a fresher approach? What kind of coach does this team need? This is going to be the interesting question and the interesting debate. And I think that's going to be, I want to have this full-on interesting debate in the Friday Locked On Celtics podcast. Because right now, my inclination is to say, this team needs a good, strong, established voice. And this team, whoever that is, and you can say Jalen Arenaga is an established voice. You can say Chauncey Billups is an established voice. You can say that about most of these guys. Becky Hammon is an established voice. She's got a lot of credibility from her time in San Antonio, and she's coached their summer league team. She's been, I think, very well respected for a while now in San Antonio. Jeff Van Gundy is. Nate McMillan is. So where do the Celtics want to go with this? You could also say that people like Sam Cassell or Chauncey Billups, they're assistant coaches that didn't have head coaching experience. So are they ready for that kind of job? Do you go into the college ranks? Is this a time to go back into the college ranks and pull someone from college that has developed a relationship with Brad Stevens and you know that they can work well together? Is that the move? This is the next huge decision for the Celtics, because you'd like to have this. It's June 2nd. You'd like to have this set before the draft, before the next part of the season begins, before you get into free agency. So the search begins now, and by the time they start building the team, by the time they start the next phase of the building, the draft and free agency, they need to have this coach in place. Now, Jason Tatum said he doesn't have a say in all of this other stuff. He said that after the loss on Tuesday night. But I think it's worth bringing Jason Tatum in to talk and say, hey, what are we looking for here? I think it's worth bringing Jaylen Brown in and say, hey, what are we looking for here? What do you see? Let's have a frank conversation about the coach and the direction of this franchise. I think it's worth having a conversation with those players. Bring them in. Bring in Marcus Smart. And let's see. Let's make this a collaborative effort. They need to have a say. So this is all going to be talked about on the Friday podcast. This will be the Thursday podcast. I'm dropping it in the middle of Wednesday because we need to drop it. I'm not waiting till midnight. I'm dropping it now. This will be the Thursday podcast. Chew on this all day Thursday. Friday, I will be back with a conversation about the coaches and what's next for the Boston Celtics. Hey, at least they're making things interesting. They're keeping this podcast interesting. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying the YouTube show. Make sure that you are subscribed everywhere you get your podcasts, everywhere, whatever your app, subscribe on YouTube, watch the show on YouTube, and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.